This is Assembly, a podcast series from the American Friends Service Committee. We're your hosts, Robert Bound.
And I'm Marissa Mazuria-Katz. I'm a journalist and radio reporter currently in Rhode Island.
And I'm an editor and radio presenter based in London.
For this series, we're taking you to the Jordanian capital of Amman,
where in the winter of 2023, the American Friends Service Committee, a Quaker peace and justice organization, arranged a dialogue and exchange for artists and activists from the Middle East and North Africa.
For this second edition of Assembly, we're talking to some of those artists and activists
about how they use culture to build movements
and how they're uniquely poised to help us understand some difficult political and social issues.
I love when ideas are risky. And there's a lot of really going to the unknown.
I think we're falling into that trap of the very institutionalized, very proper, and it's good to shake that.
When you build this healthy relationship with your audience, they always feel the feeling of belonging.
During this second convening, we met people from Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Mauritania, Morocco, Palestine, Sudan, Syria, Tunisia, and Jordan, of which Amman is the capital.
And everyone had lots of reflections and questions.
For example, and as we touched upon in AFSC's previous Assembly series recorded at a similar convening in Casablanca, how do you make art when the world around you is changing so rapidly?
And how can you harness the power of art as a tool for resilience and social change when your own cultural landscape is beholden to turbulent political realities?
For this episode, we spoke with the Palestinian spoken word poet Farah Shama about her breakout performances and why she continues to push past her comfort zones.
As we'll hear, she's fine-tuning a practice that challenges traditions and notions of identity while carving out a life as a performer like no other.
I wanted to start off, Farah, if we could get a bit of an idea of how you got into performance poetry. It's a tough gig, but you do it beautifully. How did it start?
It started with poetry. It started with writing at the age of 12 in school. And it started off by, wanting to show what I write to teachers. And then slowly realizing that I'm confident to be standing in front of an audience, whether in presentations in school. Then I joined a theater, extracurricular activity. It slowly started, things started coming together. I write, but not only do I write, I like to share it out loud. So it actually started with a small group of poets in Dubai called the Poeticians, run by a beautiful Palestinian poet and filmmaker, Hind Shoufani. And I went there as a 16-year-old, and she told me, well, it's an 18-plus event, but I'll let you in this time. It was something like that. And I joined and performed a piece. I was reading it, and I got a lot of love after it. And I realized, okay, this is something I want, and I want to do more. And things just started happening. I would do more of these events, and then they would be filmed, and then people would ask me to come to more of them. And then I decided to study performing arts. I thought, okay, I want to broaden my relationship to performance. It's not just performance poetry, but I'm interested in all the attention seeking, all the sharing in that sense. Why we do this as humans? There's always a storyteller amongst us in a social circle, someone who grabs more attention, someone who tells more jokes. I started getting interested in these personas we do. And that's why I know how to grab attention, and I know that I do it.
You mentioned there, Farah, the word personas. How much of you is in your poetry?
I think it's becoming more and more genuine. I think there is less persona now, but there is, of course, the knowledge that I'm sharing something with a big group of people, so it's going to be catered to just sensing the room, feeling it, looking around, seeing, oh, I can make a joke, or I can read a poem that is a bit more explicit here, or I can't. So there's that, right? But I think of all different kinds of performances that can happen and can come from that place of vulnerability, of brokenness, where it doesn't have to look composed, it doesn't have to look very beautiful and not messy. I think the messiness is where it comes from. At least this is what I'm going through now. It's reflective of that.
I will deep fry this poem in the depths of this overused oil until it's crunchy. I will will add enough salt on it for you not to taste any of its chemically distorted ingredients.
So there's always a play, right, between what is really genuine and then the social persona, which is the reason why it gets sometimes, you know, anxiety comes, because you feel you're putting on masks and you're not comfortable with them, and then you need to remove them. And that's the play. That's where the game happens, right? That's where the work happens.
Which is the easier for you actually to do on stage, to be yourself or to play a part and to learn your lines a little bit closer than riffing?
Definitely, I'm more in the winging, the improvisation. I'm more there. That doesn't mean I do not want to explore creating, writing an actual performance that's like longer, where we rehearse. And there's also improvisation in the rehearsed. And I'm enjoying that shift and the ability to play between the two, the ability to do improvised and ranty. I call it ranty performances, where it's sometimes all over the place, but also to say sometimes the context requires something really rehearsed and tight. And in my favorite theatrical genre is one man and one woman shows, right? One person shows. I love them. I always look for them. And because they look ranty, but they're actually not. They look like they're just one person doing whatever they want on stage. That's where I think I find myself. That's what I want to explore, writing a big performance that I would do exactly the same, yet it would never feel like it's exactly the same. It would always feel like it's changing. It's a chameleon. And my group is called Chameleon, right? The group, the duo. So it comes from there.
مش بس وقار الصوت
مش بس وقار الصوت نحن بيت وبيت وبيت
نحن بيت وبيت 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 وبيت
نحن روحانيات الموسيقى الإلكترونية.
I'm writing about identity, what that means, what it means to be Palestinian, what it means to have a passport that doesn't let you travel, all these travel restrictions, all these stories I still hear. You start looking at the world and saying, what the hell is this? Why can some people travel tomorrow somewhere and others have to plan it for like 6 months and maybe get the chance to go and maybe not? So this is what I started exploring in my own identity as a Palestinian my dad grew up in Syria, my mom grew up in Jordan. So I was really more focused on Bilad al-Sham, on the Levant. And then things started expanding, right? When I started traveling more, I started exploring more universal feelings, love, sexuality, how these define the status quo, how by being free, you yourself become a challenge. The more you become yourself, the more you will start seeing that the world is questioning you, is squishing you, is putting you back in boxes. So this is what I've been exploring. And so you can imagine how that can go in so many different directions. And it depends on in what language I'm writing. The content really changes. Well, not really, but I think I've been writing in spoken Arabic. So that really feels like having a conversation. It's so casual. So it opens up so many different, you know, play on language, cursing. It comes naturally because that's how I speak. When I write in English, it can sometimes be a bit more formal, a bit more academic. Yet then I realize that and I challenge it. So it depends really. The content changes and it's reflective of what's happening. Now I'm exploring love really as what is this? What is this universal thing that we've always written about, and how would I write about it? Because it's still a free space for me. I've been unboxing myself and my work for as long as I can. Whenever I'm boxed in the Palestinian question, I say, well, yes, of course. But the Palestinian question is not in a vacuum. I cannot talk about Palestine in a vacuum. That's problematic, actually, for me. Palestine has to be the Palestine of every day, and then Palestine has to be not Palestine. It has to expand to all social justice problems.
With your audiences, how do you take them along? Is each audience a blank canvas at the beginning of every evening, I wonder?
I see a bit of a difference between online presence and then, you know, being present in a conference or a festival, a physical presence. And I've struggled with that, because when I my work started getting known, it was online, and I got so much attention online at an early age, 17, 18. And the audiences were really mainly Arabic speaking, and because the first videos I released were very related to the Arabic speaking world, and they were in Arabic. So I understood my audiences just based on, you know, online statistics. I would understand like, okay, I'm very watched in Morocco. I was really, really watched in Morocco, and we had a tour in Morocco, and I just understood that, okay, this content works there. And I tried to understand why.
Ces lettres jouent mes cordes vocales comme celles d'un luth oublié. Ces lettres se brûlent comme les textes d'Averroès. Je les vois se transformer en fumée.
I know what I love to do, and I want to focus on the work, and then I believe things will happen based on that drive that I have with myself without trying too hard to network in that way. And it's been really good because every time I release something on the internet and it's watched again, you know, people remember, and then they reach out. And then sometimes I'm invited, because I'm Palestinian, to a Palestinian conference. So that's very different, right? That's a persona there immediately. You're boxed immediately. You know that. And then it's good to surprise audiences there and tell them, no, I'm not going to read about Palestine. Yes, it's enough that I'm Palestinian and that I'm here. And I'm going to read 3 poems about sex. Boom. It's amazing. Because that in itself is Palestine. That is Palestine being free, you know, by just being herself.
There's a sort of tone to these conferences. Most of the people are pointing in the same direction, facing the same wind. And I wondered what you thought about that. You've kind of approached some of the issues, perhaps, that people are talking about this week. Some of the issues of life, the issues of artistic creation, the issues of social justice. You tackle them in a very different way, in different language to other people. And I just wondered what you thought of the tone of the discussion this week.
I think that's a very good question, and that's what I feel. I start feeling that struggle between trying to be part of the world and accepting it for what it is, but also saying, that's not me. I need to be more naked, more expressive, more foolish, have really unexpected conversations, because that's where, to me, good music comes from, good art comes from. And it's a struggle for me. And I was, you know, and as much as some content is really valuable and important, but a part of me is like, there is that, like, really, this exhaustion. And even though my work can be about political things, can have, you know, some sort of academia in there, some sort of rigorous approach, but I'm realizing more and more that that's not me. I really understand, you know, why scatting in jazz is so good, because it's just booty, booty, boo, 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 booty. It's great. We need more of that. We need more of that, I feel. And I think we're falling into that trap of the very institutionalized, very proper. And it's good to shake that, right? And I think, of course, like, artists have the mediums and the tools to realize this and shake it with, you know, with movement, with song, with screaming, with, you know, performing arts. And yeah, and that's, I think, always been there.
That was the Palestinian spoken word poet Farah Shama talking to Assembly, a podcast series from the American Friends Service Committee. I'm Marissa Mazria-Katz.
And I'm Robert Bounds. Thank you for joining us.